Hi, and welcome to the Church Unlimited podcast. Church Unlimited is a vibrant, Bible-based church in North Lakes, Queensland that is passionate about helping people discover the genuine love of Jesus. If you're currently looking for a home church, we would love for you to join us for Sunday worship. For more information about our Sunday service or to find out how we can best help you, head to our website at churchunlimited.com.au. We hope you enjoy this message from Sunday service.
I am really looking forward to today continuing on our Church on Mission preaching series, where we have been unpacking who we believe God has called us to be as a church. Because we don't exist to run nice church services. We don't exist just to have a good time on Sunday. We really believe that God has called us to release unlimited believers in the potential that God has already placed within them, so that they would authentically represent Him everywhere we go. And we do this because our community, our world, the people around us need Jesus. There's nothing they need more than that. And so our identity and who we believe that we are as a church comes out of this simple moment where Jesus calls His first disciples. He says, the words that you'd all be familiar with, He says, hey, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Come, have a moment of encounter. Know me. But don't just know me for a moment. Follow after me. Belong with me. Join my community. Be a part of my family. And in that context, I'll make you. I'm going to transform you. I'm going to take you on a discipleship journey that you would grow to be more like me. And He says, fishers of men. Purpose attached to people, that we would serve God and serve the world around us, ultimately that we would have the opportunity to tell people about Jesus. And that's what I want to preach about today. I want to speak with you about telling the world about Jesus. That sounds pretty scary though, so I'm going to bring it in. And today really I just want to talk about having the confidence, the courage, the boldness to maybe just tell your friends about Jesus and the people in your life. Because if we can do this, oh, the world would never be the same again. I think there's nothing more important in the world than telling people about Jesus. Now, let me give you a spoiler alert. And sometimes it's good to jump to the end and back to the front so that we can get back to the end again. But I am shamelessly going to use this entire sermon to convince you to scan the QR code on the front of your seat. Because I want to invite you to be a part of a workshop that I'm running, May 16th. It's a Thursday night. It's going to run from 7 to 7:45. It's going to be on Zoom, so you know it's not going to last more than 45 minutes. I want to talk with you. I want to encourage you, and I want to equip you to tell your friends about Jesus. Because it's one thing to have a desire to do it. It's another thing to actually step out and do it. But I want this to be so much more than, it's not just an online class. It's not something that we're going to sit and just listen and then not do. Really what I want to do is I want to build a community of people that have just decided, I am going to tell the people in my world about Jesus. People that have decided that I'm going to act. I'm going to be intentional. I'm going to do something, because there's nothing that my world needs more than Jesus. There's nothing that my family needs more than Jesus. There's nothing that my neighbor needs more than Jesus. And so this isn't just an online class. This is an invitation to step out and to act. I'm going to call you up. I'm going to call you out. And together, we're going to learn how to share our faith with our friends. So when you do scan the QR code, and you can do that now, just knowing that you should, you can do it in 10 minutes' time when I've convinced you, or right at the end when I remind you again, because I will. There's a little tab there that says sharing faith with friends. Just click that. Name, email address. You'll get all the information that you need after that. But really, what am I doing? I'm just wanting to build a community that are going to encourage one another, share testimonies with one another of their friends meeting Jesus. I'm believing that in the future, there's going to be more altar calls happening in your lounge room than in our church services. There's going to be more salvation prayers prayed in your workplace and in cars driving to concerts than here in church. I'm believing that we will go into all the world and preach the gospel, and it's going to result in salvations. It's going to result in our community being completely transformed. But it begins as we decide that we will act. So spoiler alert, that's where we're going. Get excited about it. Jump on board early, because that's what all the cool kids do. But let's work our way there, right? Telling people about Jesus. I'm really excited about this, right? Because fundamentally, this is who we've been called to be. And as I preach about this morning, the way that I'm going to do it is we're going to go back to the start. I want to look at the foundations of who we were called to be as a church. Because the church was never meant to be about running Sunday services. Jesus didn't build the church because people needed something to do on Sunday or Saturday or whatever day you choose. Jesus built the church. He filled it with his presence. He commissioned it with power to go into all the world to preach the gospel, because there's nothing our world needs more than Jesus. So as we look at this today, I'm going to do it just by simply looking at that word that we know so well, church. Because it's as we look at the beginnings of words and what they were meant to be, we see who we were truly called to be. Because words, more than anything else, I suppose, words just paint a picture in our mind, don't they? As we hear a word, what we do is we start to imagine it. We start to experience a little bit. We start to align ourselves with the picture and the idea that's associated with that word. I could play a game with you and we see if it works. Like, does anybody enjoy fast food? I don't. It's terrible for you. But when somebody says cheeseburger, my body responds and I get hungry. And then I start to think about fries and maybe a strawberry thick shake at the same time. Because that simple word carries so much meaning and intent, right? Of course it does. But do you know what we started to do as a society? And it's natural, it happens, is we keep the same words, but we start to change their meaning. We hold on to the word, but instead of associating it with the picture that it originally was connected to, we attach different ideas to it instead. Can I give you a few examples just to help you understand what I mean? Because I think this is happening faster than ever before. And I blame social media or the internet. I'll give you a few examples to just show how words have changed and the meanings and the pictures that are attached to them have changed along with it. If I was to tell you that yesterday I was just going about my business and I found myself in an unexpected fight with a troll. Now, either you could decide that I was just wandering through Middle Earth and I came across a bridge and found a monster underneath and decided to let's go. But really, probably what's happening is I was just online and somebody criticized me, and so I got into an argument with somebody on the internet, right? I got into a fight with a troll. It was terrible. Now, I think it's 4 years past COVID now, so it's appropriate that we can use this. But if I was to tell you that something went viral, now I could be talking about Playtime's Instagram account, or I could be talking about a new outbreak of a disease. It's not that one. What I'm really just saying is it blew up on social media. Like, it's big on TikTok, right? Even that idea of something blowing up completely changed. Depending where you're from. If I was to tell you, if I pointed to that friend and I said, hey, yeah, we're friends. Now, that could mean that I actually had a friendship and a relationship with them. It could mean that we like to sit and to talk and to hang out and go for coffee. Or it could just mean that I jumped on Facebook and said, yep, I'll friend you. And he said, yes. And we were friends. Following somebody used to mean that you creepily just followed around in the background. But now it just means that you creepily sit there late at night looking at their photos online. Meaning changes the word. We've changed the meaning of words, haven't we? It's so much worse than that, though, because sometimes we forget the meaning of words altogether. I mean, I don't need to show you anything other than to ask you the question of, can you define male and female right now? To understand that sometimes we can completely lose the meaning of words. Need I say more? But wouldn't it be terrible? Wouldn't it be an absolute tragedy if we were doing this here within the church and amongst believers? Is it possible that we have allowed the meaning of words that we use so commonly, if we had allowed words that defined us and shaped us and identified who we were called to be, if we'd let the meaning of that go, letting go of truth, losing our identity, failing to be who God had called us to be. I mean, when God designed words to carry the power of life and death, when they were made to be prophetic declarations that bring substance out of the spiritual, is it possible that we, the church, have lost a little or a lot along the way as we've allowed the substance of words to slip and to change, as we've allowed the substance of who we've been called to be in God to be diluted by the mediocrity of what's happening around us in the world today? Is it possible? It's in that context that I just want to have a little conversation today about this simple word that we know and we love, hopefully, the church. Shane Willard, when he talks about words, I love, he says that words don't matter as much as what we imagine those words to be. The word itself is not as important as the meaning or the picture or the idea that that word carries. And this word that we use so often, church, can't it mean so many different things depending on the context that you choose to use it in today? I mean, we use it to describe who we are. We are the church. We use it to describe what we're doing right now. We're at church. We use it to describe where I was going when I left the house today. I'm going to church, a building. We can attach so many pictures and meanings and ideas to this one word. But my question today is, what was it always meant to mean? Why did they choose this word to describe who we are today? So as we continue on with this Church on Mission series, I want to unpack this word. I want to help you to see it, maybe differently to how you've ever seen it before. But I want to focus in on this picture that the early believers saw as they chose this word to describe who we are. And I think when you see this meaning, suddenly our whole Church on Mission series makes more sense. When we understand who God called us to be, we understand why we need to know Him and belong in His family. We understand why we need to become more like Him so that we can serve others and ultimately tell others about Him, because this is who we are. And in it, I think we're going to see the greatest purpose of the church today, telling others about Jesus. There's no greater need in the world than Jesus. And we, as the church, man, don't we need to take this seriously? Don't we need to take the words of Jesus seriously when He said, go into all the world and run great church services so you have something? No, He said, preach the gospel. Preach the good news. Heal this. He says, go and preach the gospel. So on May 16 at 7 to 7:45, when you scan the code, you can join me on a class that will help you to be better at telling others about Jesus. But let's focus in again on this, the original meaning, the substance of this powerful word, church. You'll see what it is. And in doing so, I think you'll see more about who we are, the church. The word church actually is based on a Greek word, the ecclesia. And I think this word, the ecclesia, carries a picture that is a powerful prophetic declaration calling us to something greater. In its original context, this word ecclesia means to live apart or to be called out. But sometimes we get this word, the ecclesia, the called out ones, and we interpret it as having been called out of our world to live separately. We grab this picture of, I think of monasteries and monks and people who live cloistered away from society, people who are separate and pure. When I think of called out and living separate, sometimes I think about, it's not meant to offend anybody that's chosen to homeschool their kids, but I was a homeschooled kid once upon a time and I've recovered. But you know, when I was homeschooled, there was a whole movement of people being homeschooled. And there was families in my church who had other children who were also homeschooled. And they did it because they believed they were to live completely separately from the world. And actually, they did it to such an extent that even the children, my friends, weren't allowed to play with other kids that weren't Christian enough because they were so dedicated to living separately from the world. So sometimes we use it as an excuse to be pulled out of the world, moving further and further away from the people that God placed us amongst. But that's not what the word was ever meant to mean. The ecclesia, the called out ones, in its original context, was a group of people who had been called out to play a greater part within their community. They were called out to create influence and to create action. They gathered together to make a change. Just imagine a crowd of people gathered in the center of the city, the town square, because this is where business and politics and everything of significance happened in those days. And there's somebody with a rallying cry, somebody calling out to create action. It's a city leader or an activist or a person of influence, someone with a just cause, someone that saw a need that needed to be addressed. And people would gather around. They would listen to their words. They would hear the cry for justice. They would hear a call to correct some wrong. And they would gather to make a change. I agree with that cause. I'm going to step out to make a difference. I'm going to stand with you that we would see this change. They might be gathering around a person, but more important than the person in the middle was the cause that they rallied around. The people gathered to a great cause. They assembled to make a difference. These people, this picture of people stepping up and stepping forward to create change, is the picture of the ecclesia that the early church knew. That's the word that they chose. That's the picture that they chose to describe who God had called them to be as they went into all the world to be the church. People who were called out of their homes to make a difference. People who stepped forward to take action. People who cared about the cause enough that they would do something about it. This is the picture that they saw when they said, "We are the church, the ecclesia. Gathered for a worthy cause, gathered to respond and meet a need within my community." They stood together to create strength and to make a change. Theologian Ed Rotz, he describes the ecclesia as this: a purposeful, often powerful, gathering of people united by identity and purpose. Can you imagine if that's how you started to see the church? A people, a powerful people, gathered together, united in our identity, for a great cause, the church, the ecclesia. You know, you can actually see this picture actually played throughout history again and again. These stories inspire us. I know more about them these days because I watch them in movies, because these make incredible movies. But for the men, can I just tell you about this story that I heard, a man called William Wallace, who stood up and said Scotland would be free, and a nation rallied around him to fight against the injustice of an invading nation, ultimately seeing freedom for their nation. Scotland will be free. What a rallying cry. Martin Luther King stood up and said, "I have a dream." The men would be judged by the contents of their character, not by the color of their skin. And he transformed the way racial relations happened across the entire world. But again, as he stood and said, "I have a dream, I see a cause, would you stand with me?" And nations rallied around him. Ironically, a more contemporary one that I could imagine was Greta Thunberg, who stood up and said to the world leaders, "You have broken my dream." And she says, I see a world that doesn't get hotter every week. Look, maybe you know what I think about her cause by the font that I chose. But can you see, regardless of the cause, people gathered around it. And largely a world has been united in a cause to say we should take responsibility for our nation. Can you see how people gather around a cause? Regardless of what you think, can you see people responding? As a rally cry was raised, people who were called out, people who have assembled together, powerfully united by a purpose greater than themselves, standing forward to take action. You know, we look at them from the comfort of our home and we call people like this activists. And often we do it with a pretty negative connotation, really, if I'm true, honest. We see them standing against the status quo, trying to make a change, and we go, "Well, good luck to you. Good luck to you." But I just love that they believe in their cause to such an extent that they're willing to stand, that they're willing to act, and they're willing to move outside of the everyday and the normal. That is the picture that is attached to the word church that we use today. People who are willing to stand up and act. Because church was never meant to be a building. The church was never meant to be a passive people. We're the church. We're a people called to a great cause. People who have been commissioned to go on an incredible mission for our Heavenly Father. People who are meant to live with an active faith that makes a difference not only in their own life, but in the world around them. Jesus said to pray, "Your kingdom come and your will be done here on earth around me, just like it is in heaven." But when we lose sight of the cause, when we stop seeing that picture, do you know what we do? We make this incredible idea, the church, all about us. When I lose sight of the cause, suddenly church becomes about me and mine. And instead of it being about our mission together to be the church, instead of going into all the world and preaching the gospel, do you know what we do? We make church our refuge. We make it a time. We make it a place. We make it somewhere that we run to get away from the rest of the world. We turn our services into experiences. Even in that word, our worship experience, doesn't it make it about me? Oh, did you have a good worship experience, Roger? I did. Instead of being about a great cause out there, church becomes about me, and church becomes about the people sitting in here. And we start to say things like this: "Oh, I go to the church that I like. I'm looking for somewhere that I like, for a time that's good for me." You know, it used to be 8:30 and 10:30, but now it's 8:30 and 10:40. 10:45 is hard. But 8:35 is hard as well. I said 8:35 for a reason, because that's when a lot of us like to come in here. Oh. We talk about the preaching that I like, the worship that I like. Can you believe some people even make decisions about the church based upon the coffee that they like? Church becomes about me and mine, and ultimately my church expression actually becomes about my convenience, because I want something that's easy. I want something that is accessible. I want something that won't confront me, but will just encourage me to be the best version of myself. Sometimes we make church about our comfort. We go so that we can be refreshed, restored, and relaxed. Disclaimer: every time you go to church, I'm believing that you will be refreshed, restored, and relaxed. But that's not why we gather. And it's got to be about more than that. Church has to be more than just a good experience for me. Do you know what happens when we think like this? Some people, not us, but other people, start to treat our church worship experiences a bit like a day spa. It's an experience I come to receive. It's not somewhere that I come to bring. And so I go to the day spa, my church. I see my personal trainer. That's Pastor Michelle as she leads us in worship. Oh, cardio is a bit hard. Why are we doing two fast songs? I like the slow ones. You know, spend some time in the steam room. I'm believing for some Holy Spirit tingles. Cold plunge, that's all the rage these days. You get one of those on the ministry team. Ministry time when one of the ministry team gives you a prophetic word. Did you just feel it? It's invigorating. But then I just pop out into the foyer for a bit of a massage with people that will tell me that I'm really doing a good job. I laugh about it, right? But can you see that's sometimes how we treat the church? That's a mentality that we can take as we make it about me and mine and what I experience. I go to church to get away from everything that's happening out there. I go to church to get away from all the people that disagree with me. I go to get away from all the people that don't love Jesus the way that I do. Church was never meant to be a refuge. Church was never meant to be a place that I go to hide away from the world. Church was always meant to be a platform that launches me into the rest of the world. Church was always meant to be a place that I am equipped and encouraged and filled with faith and sent into the world to preach the gospel. That's who we are. You know, the last two things that Jesus ever said to the church, first thing he said was, gather together. You'll receive the Holy Spirit. You'll be filled with power. And then, go into all the world. Go into all the world and preach the gospel and cast out demons and heal the sick and set the captives free. Raise the dead. When was the last time you cast out a demon? Sometimes we're surprised that people even get healed here on Sunday, when we're meant to expect that they would be healed in my workplace as I lay hands on them and pray. I'm meant to believe that the Holy Spirit would move through me in power, that they would experience the kingdom of God and give their life to Him in return. I'm meant to go. We see this pattern in the New Testament, that they would gather together in prayer and worship, then they would go and preach the gospel boldly. They would gather to pray, and then they would go. They would gather in Jerusalem, then they would go into all the world. They would gather and go. Gather and go. And we've started to gather. And gather. And we forgot to go. You are God's ecclesia. You are God's called out ones. So today I'm calling you out afresh. I want to remind you of your great purpose. You weren't made to sit in church services. You weren't called by the Creator of heaven and earth to have a nice Sunday experience. You were called out by God. You were commissioned with the gospel and commanded to go into all the world full of the Holy Spirit to preach and to evidence the work of God. Our rallying cry here at Church Unlimited is simple. So simple even I can remember it. So simple even you can remember it. It's just this. People need Jesus. Can you remember it? People need Jesus. You know, people need a lot of things. But more than anything else, they need Jesus. Do you know people outside of here need Jesus? The people at your workplace, they need Jesus. Your friends need Jesus. Your family need Jesus. The people that you love the most, every single one of them needs Jesus. You know, this, sometimes we can hear this, and it can become a generic statement. Oh, yeah, I know. People need Jesus. People that live in my community need Jesus. People that live in this city, in this country, we all need Jesus. But this is a simple and powerful truth about every single person, every single individual, every single loved one that we know. And it is our greatest conviction. More than anything else in this world, people need Jesus. So today I want to call you out to respond to this incredible need. I'm calling you to step forward for your family, to stand up for your friends and your loved ones. They need Jesus. Would you be the answer? They need Jesus. Will you be the one that tells them? Will you be the one that shows them? Will you be the one that demonstrates the love of God in a way that draws them closer to Him? Will you be the one that preaches the good news, that brings the power of the Holy Spirit to see them healed and set free? Will you be the one that stands in the gap for your family because they need Jesus? Do you know that we will be the church? We will be the called out ones, God's ecclesia, once each single one of us is personally convinced that I and the church. Sometimes we allow it to be a group responsibility when really it's a personal identity. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, Peter writes and he says, "For God called you to do good, even if it means suffering, just as Christ suffered for you. He is your example. You must follow in his steps." Every single one of us is called to tell the world about Jesus. But you know, I'm going to love the world better, generally. I'm going to love the world out there so much more once I truly learn to love the people that God's already put in my life. Maybe it's my neighbor. Maybe it's my brother that's away from the Lord. Maybe it's that guy at the workplace that just is annoying. tell him about it later. But our church will do great things for God when we each individually learn just to do simple things for him. We will do great things together as we each learn to do simple things for him. We'll reach the world as we reach our friends. Every single one of us, me, you, us, we all have people in our life already. People in our life already. They're there, just waiting. And do you know what they need? Jesus. The people that are already in your life need Jesus. I think sometimes we teach ourselves to stop seeing the need. We tell ourselves that they've got it all together. You know, oh, they've got the job, they've got the house, they've whatever the thing is that you think they've got, you tell yourself they've already got it. Maybe you tell yourself they don't want him. They don't really need him. Maybe you say, oh, I think they're too busy for Jesus. We're good at creating excuses that stop us from seeing the need in the world around us. I'm mindful of this story in the book of Acts. It says Peter and John were going to the temple to pray. And as they did, they saw a lame man on the way who asked for money. And they said, we don't have any money. Let me pray for your healing. But there's a moment where it stops. And it's, you've got to imagine and see. Peter and John, they were in the habit of walking up this same road to the temple every day. It was the time for prayer. This is what we do. And that street would have been lined with beggars, people that were lame and people that were sick, people that were there as their job asking for money. That was their profession. I'm a beggar. I can't do anything else. But in that moment, it said that Peter saw that man. And what it means, it doesn't say he'd never seen him before. What it says is he noticed him. He observed and recognized a need and realized that he had a need to respond. We need to carry that picture for ourselves and the people. Is it possible that we have stopped seeing the need in our friends and in our family and in our workplace and we started to see it as normal, and we need to remind ourselves to stop again and see the need? Because as we see the need, we can respond. And then here's what we can't do. We can't let ourselves off the hook. We can't say, it's not my responsibility. You can't say, I'm too busy for that. You can't say, I'm too scared. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. I don't know where I would start, because on May 16th, I'll tell you how to be the ecclesia. And you begin by understanding this simple truth and allowing it to create some conviction in your heart. Those people need Jesus, because he isn't an optional extra. Jesus is life. John 14:6, Jesus told them, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Every person that lives apart from Jesus is living cut off from the only source of life they can ever know. They're living, but they're dying. Have you ever seen a flower, like Mother's Day is approaching, and we will see flowers everywhere, I'm sure of it. Men, get ready. But all of those flowers, for a moment, will be full of life. But you know they've been cut off from their source? They've been cut off from their plant, their root system, their life. And so living, they will die. And that's a great picture for us to remember as we think about everybody in our world that is apart from Jesus. Cut off from their source. Though living, they are dying. There's nothing in all of creation they need more than Jesus. There's nothing they need more urgently than Jesus. There's nothing that can save them except for Jesus. He is so much more important than their job, their career, their plans, their pleasure, their money, their convenience. He is more important than their next breath. If we could just understand more than anything else in this world, our people need Jesus. Your people, your friends and your loved ones, they need him. That's why it's the rallying cry of our church. Everything we do here at Church Unlimited flows out of this simple conviction. People need Jesus. So have you signed up yet? I hope, and I pray genuinely, that we would all do incredible things for God. as we follow after him. But you know what? More than anything else today, I just want to help you to do something that is so simple, so can seem so insignificant, but will literally mean life for the ones that you love. I want to help you to tell your people about Jesus. Because Jesus said, go into all the world. But that's a big, scary place. So maybe you could just start by going next door, going to your brother's house, going to the guys that you talk with at work, whoever it is, and telling them about Jesus. I'm praising God because one of my hobbies is buying and selling stupid things online. It's true. They're big and they're often heavy. And the way that I met my friend Shane is that he watched me. I often get myself just into situations that I can't get myself out of. He watched me trying to unload this stupid commercial refrigerator out of a trailer into up my hill to my garage. And he was clearly sitting back. And I imagine for like 5 minutes he laughed and watched. But then his better nature got the best of him. And he came over and he offered help. More than once. Didn't just happen on one occasion. It's a problem. Shane doesn't live in that house anymore, sadly. I miss him. But do you know, 2 weeks ago, I was trying to unload something stupidly heavy off a trailer and pull it up the driveway into my house, and I couldn't do it. And the new man that lives in that house came over and offered help. And do you know what I thought? Jesus, we're going to get him. It doesn't have to be over big things, right? Simple things and simple moments and whatever people God placed in your life. Could you tell them about Jesus? There's nothing that you could do. There's nothing that would please God more. There's nothing that would be a better offering of praise and worship to your Heavenly Father than to tell somebody about him, to share Jesus, because he is literally life for the lost. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, so we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. We do the work of Christ and we speak on behalf of him every time we plead, would you come back to Christ? Maybe you're waiting because you think somebody else will do it for you. Let me read to you then from Romans chapter 10, verse 14 and 15. It says, but how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? How can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? How will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That's why the scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news. Can you just leave that up on the screen for me for a second? I want to ask you all a question, and this is not rhetorical. You can raise your hand, but just let me know. Do you have somebody in your life that you can think of right now that needs Jesus? I do. Jesse, what's the name of your person? Luke and Andrew. We'll just pick one. Luke or Andrew? Andrew. Great. Let me show you how you could start to read this verse. I want you to orientate yourself around it a little bit. How can Andrew call on him to save him unless Andrew believes in him? And how can Andrew believe in him if he has never heard about him? And how can Andrew hear about him unless Jesse tells them? And how will Jesse go without being sent? Go. That's why the scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. Because how would they know unless you tell them about it? And why would you keep such news a secret? 2 Timothy 4:5 says this, but you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Jesse, don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news and carry out the ministry God has given you. Work at telling others the good news. Fulfill the ministry God has called you to do. Can you see it yet? Can you see that this is God's desire for your heart? This is his identity for us. This is who the church saw when they called themselves the church, people who were called out to respond to a need. And that need is that people need Jesus. So I'm not saving all the good stuff for May 16. I'm going to help you. Oh, Hayden's come to help me too. That's good. Maybe you're sitting here and you're going, that's good. I'm convinced. I want to do it. How? How could I start to tell my friends about Jesus? I want to give you a few things that will just help you on your way. These are simple things that every single one of us can start to do. It's not a silver bullet. It's an orientation that we can hold. It's a discipline that we can start to carry that will allow God to move through us in ways greater than you ever imagined. Because people need Jesus, I will know the people in my life. Peter and John suddenly saw a man with need. You're surrounded. Surrounded by people who desperately need Jesus. I think sometimes we can be caught out by the magnitude of the need. Sometimes we can be distracted by the greatness of the need, because to be honest, so much of the world needs Jesus. That's a hard place to start. So maybe if you just look close to home for your Lukes and Andrews, maybe you start to see them and know them personally. You already do. But could you write their name down? Maybe it's time to grab a journal and just say, God, I'm believing that you are going to give me opportunity to tell these people about you, and write their name down. You know, as you write their name down, you'll start to live according to it. You'll start to take a little bit of responsibility. As you write their name down and know about it, you'll start to live intentionally towards it. But there are people in your life already who need Jesus. Are you paying attention? Are you seeing the need? Are you putting yourself back on the hook and saying, it's my responsibility? If I don't do it, who will? I see you, and I see that you need Jesus. I'm going to choose to know your name. I'm going to choose to see your need. I'm going to choose to respond with the very thing that you need. His name is Jesus. Do you know, once I know the people in my life personally, once I can start to say their name and know their name and see that they need Jesus, do you know what the next thing I can do is? I can just start to pray specifically for them. I can start to pray. Do you know, you probably already knew this, but sometimes it blows my mind, but God wants them to be saved more than you do. God loves them more than you do. God designed them and created them. He knit them together. He formed them. He breathed life within them. He created them to live within His family forever. And He desperately wants them back so much that He came and died in their place so that they could find life in His place. He wants them to know Him. He wants you to tell them about Him. So as you start to pray, don't think He's going to be surprised. As you start to pray, don't think He's going to be reluctant about it. Could you start to imagine that maybe God's poised and waiting? Oh my goodness, Anne's going to pray. She's going to pray. And when she prays, I'm going to speak. Because now as I pray, I'm inviting God, would you give me wisdom? Would you lead me and guide me? Would you give me the right words to say, the right things to do? Would you help me, Jesus, to demonstrate your love to them in a way that's undeniable? Because I don't do it in my own strength, I do it in His strength. They don't need to meet me, they need to have a moment of encounter for themselves with Jesus. Would you start to pray specifically for the people in your life by name on a regular occasion? I have a habit of praying that they would meet Jesus through me. Do you know what's going to happen? As you start to pray, God's going to give you opportunity. Here's what you do. I connect. It's really hard to connect with people if you don't create time. It's really hard to connect with people if you're always too busy. It's really hard to connect with people if you don't allow yourself to be interested in your life. Maybe you could start to do things like just get heavy objects and try and carry them off your driveway and attract people to you. But could you actually create space in your life to be in their life? Maybe it's just an invitation for dinner or a barbecue. Maybe you see them doing something stupid on their driveway and you go to help them. That would be even better. But could you say, because you need Jesus and I am a messenger of the gospel, I'm going to bring it to you. So I'm looking for opportunities to connect. I'm looking for opportunities to serve and to love. I'm looking for opportunities just to get into your world because your world needs Jesus. I can know them. I can start to pray for them. Oh my goodness, now I'm going to get into your world and connect with you. Here's the important one, number four. You've actually got to care. I don't think that'll be a problem though, because as you pray and as you allow God to speak with you, as you get into their world and start to see them focusing on, do you know what you're going to see? People that are incredibly designed in the image of God. People that have real needs, people that have real lives, people that desperately need Jesus. You're going to see people the way God starts to see them. You're going to love people the way that God starts to love them. And you know, your simple act of caring could be one of the most powerful things that you need to do to preach the gospel. You might think that you need to come up with a 15-minute sermon to preach them from the moment, you know, you're just there and you're waiting and you're thinking, the moment they ask me, I've got it ready and I'm going to give them the sermon. No, probably you just need to give them time to stop and listen and say, you know what? That must be really hard. You know what? I see that. That's challenging for you. Maybe it's enough to celebrate the good things in their life. And it's from this relationship where I've made time to connect, where I've made myself vulnerable enough to start to actually care, that I'm going to be able to demonstrate the heart of God to them. I'm going to, you know what? It's going to lead me to pray, not just for them from a distance, but pray with them. Because I care, you know what? I see you're really going through a hard time. There's nothing that I have that I could give to you that will fix it. But do you know what? I could pray with you. That's what Peter said to the lame man. I don't have what you're asking for. I don't have what you're looking for, but I've got something so much better. And it's here right now. Can I pray? Once you're in that habit of, that's how you live with people, it's not hard to tell them about Jesus. Maybe it's just in that moment of prayer as you sense his presence, you could start to remind them of it. Hey, can you feel that? That's God. Do you feel that peace? Is there peace coming over your life right now? That's your Father starting to speak to you. Maybe you start to tell them that even though they thought they were never good enough, even though they thought they could never even darken the doors of a church, their God loves them. Their Father welcomes them. In fact, you could start to tell them that God sent you so that they could know him. You could start to tell them about the good news. You could start to tell them about the life that you found. You could start to tell them about the time that you prayed and were healed, or the challenges that you faced, but your God has helped you to overcome. You could start to tell them about new life in Jesus, about shame being gone, about joy that goes beyond circumstances. You could start to tell them that you never worried because he fills your life with peace. Because no matter what's happening around you, you know that your God is with you. He never leaves you or forsakes you. That's preaching the gospel. That's telling people about Jesus. Sometimes we think it's a sermon, but really it's just an explanation of what he's done in your life. All you got to do is be bold. The Holy Spirit fills you with boldness. It'll be there if you know their name. If you've built a habit of praying for them, seeking the face of God, standing in partnership with him, believing that God, we're gonna get them. Being in their world, connecting, caring, ultimately so you can tell them about the one thing that they really need, Jesus. That's who we are. That's why we do it. And I know that sometimes this can be a heavy topic because the need is so great. Oh, but there is joy. There is joy in sharing your faith. Do you know, I think that there's people here today. And I think your faith has become a little bit like going through the motions. You wouldn't necessarily think about it that way. You wouldn't tell anybody about it. But your worship has started to lose its joy. your hunger for his presence has started to wane away. And sometimes you might even sit there and go, why? Is Christianity really that good a life? It is, particularly when you understand who it's called you to be. If you want to find joy in your salvation again, why don't you start to tell others about it? Maybe you've stopped to see that, maybe you've stopped seeing who God's called you to be because you've stopped understanding why he's called you to live. Maybe you're sitting there going, yeah, I just feel like I'm waiting, waiting, waiting. It's because you've been busy gathering, 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 and you've stopped going into all the world. This is a wake-up call for us as a church that this is not where it all happens. It's on Monday and on Tuesday. That's where your faith is going to be expressed. It's on Wednesday that you're really going to worship in the workplace. It's in your, on the weekend when you're chatting with your neighbors and you're preaching the gospel by telling them what God has done in your life. That's going to be your worship. I tell you what, if you could just grab hold of that, if you could even just start to live like that, you'll experience new life. You'll find new joy. You'll find a fresh sense of passion for everything that God is doing because you're going to start to see life flow. You're going to start to see a need for his presence. You're going to start to hunger in prayer because you can see, God, this world needs you. In the same way that I needed you, they need you. And I'm going to be a part of it. So I want to pray for all of us in just a moment. Because I know every single one of us has people in our life that need Jesus. Every single one of us have people in our life disconnected, separated from their Heavenly Father, disconnected, separated from life, hopelessly lost, and more important than their next breath is Jesus. And it's our responsibility, it's our opportunity, it's our rallying cry to go and to tell them about Jesus. So would you stand with me this morning? I want to pray for every single one of us, for the people in our world, for wisdom, for boldness, for opportunity to preach the gospel, that they would hear and they would find life. But before I do that, maybe you're here today and you've been listening to me talk about who we are, listening to me preach about what it means to be the church and our desperate need for Jesus because he is life. But you've been sitting and it feels like you've been watching from the outside because it's not the life that you've begun to live. Maybe you're here today and there's never been a moment where you have prayed and invited Jesus personally into your life to be life and to give you new life. Maybe you've just been going to church, but you haven't yet found a savior. If that's you, in just a moment, I would love to lead you in a simple prayer. Inviting him into your life, receiving his forgiveness, receiving his life, finding an eternal hope and future in him. So if that's you, if you're standing here and you're thinking, Dan, that's me, I need to pray that prayer. Just as we're standing, as our heads are bowed, as our eyes are closed, nobody's looking around. But if you say, Dan, that's me, Dan, I need to pray that prayer. Would you be so bold as to just give me a quick wave? I see your hand. You can put it down again. Great, I see that hand. Is there somebody else here today that says, Dan, I need to pray that prayer? Dan, I need Jesus. You might doubt that God loves you. You might doubt that God even wants you. Don't doubt. He loves you so much that he sent his son to die in your place so that you could find life in his. Is there anybody else today that says, Dan, pray that prayer with me? Let's pray this prayer together as a church. The Bible says that as we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart, he's faithful to forgive us. So I'll pray and you just repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your love, and I thank you for your forgiveness. Jesus, come into my life today. Fill me with your life and help me to live a life that follows after you. Thank you for salvation today. Amen. Father, I just pray that in this moment, it's a moment of new life, that it would be a moment of complete and utter restoration, that the old is gone and the new is come. Oh Lord, that you would fill them with your presence, that they would know your voice. Lord, that they would follow after you. Holy Spirit, would you completely transform them? That day after day, they would become more and more like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to close this service just by praying for every single one of us that we would go preach the gospel and just do it by simply connecting and caring with the people that God has already placed in our world. As we do simple things, God will do incredible things through us. So as I pray, here's what I want you to do. I want you to start to think and hold on to, God, these are the people that I'm praying for. God, these are the people that I'm believing for. God, this is the person that I'm going to go and connect with and pray for and care for, that ultimately I could tell them about you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the new life that we have found in you. Lord, I thank you that you've saved us, that you've transformed us. Lord, that you have set us free and that you have called us to, Lord, just to live a life that knows you and to loves you. Lord, I thank you for the incredible things that you've done in our lives. And I pray that it wouldn't stay here. Lord, for every single person in our life right now, every person that's being believed for and prayed for, Lord, every friend, every family member, every work colleague, every neighbor, Lord, I just ask that you would give us opportunity. Lord, that as we pray for them, Lord, as we find your heart for them, Lord, that you would give us opportunity to simply connect, to bridge the divide. Lord, just to step into their world so that we could know them personally. Lord, so that we could care for them personally. Lord, give us opportunity within that relationship to start to encourage, start to comfort, to start to build up. Lord, give us words to say. Give us things to do that just radically demonstrate your love to them. Holy Spirit, fill us with boldness. Fill us with power so that we could be you, so that we could be your words, so that we could plead with them on your behalf. Repent and be saved. Lord, help us to preach the gospel with our words and with our actions, with our attitudes. Help us to presence your Spirit, that your kingdom would come and your will would be done in our life, in their life, in our community. Lord, that we would see a move of God, that more and more people would find life and hope and future in you. Thank you, Jesus, for all you've done. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.
Thanks for joining us. We pray that you and your family are richly blessed by the love and grace of Jesus. If you're ever in the area, we would love for you to join us for Sunday worship.